Chapter 26. Nia pulled into the car park in front of a large building. To the right of the door was a list of the various businesses, and she spotted the one she was looking for was on the third floor. Inside were sterile, plain walls and concrete steps, which she climbed up quickly. Once at the door, she knocked nervously until a quiet voice called for her to come in. Inside was much more inviting, with comfortable chairs, pleasant prints on the walls. In one corner, a young woman was busy typing, but it was a man with a beard and easy smile who stood up to greet her.
"Hi, I'm Grant. How can I help you?"
Nia shuffled nervously. "I hope you don't mind me coming, but I wanted to ask you something about Ruby, who used to work here." The man's face creased in concern.
"Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know if you have heard."
"I know what happened," she interrupted. "I was wondering if you know who she'd been working with the night before she died. I had a question about one of the phone calls." He gestured towards a seat, and she sat down.
"All the calls that come in here are kept completely confidential. I can't divulge anything like that."
"I understand, but, well, let me explain." Nia told him about Ruby's conversations at the party and on the beach. "The point I'm making is that this isn't just me being nosy. I am concerned about what happened to Ruby, and it might be that person could help me understand."
"I think that is a police matter, don't you?"
"The police have accepted that Ruby died either by an accidental overdose or she took her own life. I'm not so sure."
"I'm sorry, I can't help you."
"But it might be I could help this person. Ruby was very worried about them."
"I can't give out any information. We are, of course, all distraught about what happened to Ruby. We miss her terribly, and, of course, we owe her an enormous debt. Because of her generosity, we were able to move here to new premises and be financially secure for a few years. I am sorry I can't help you, but I'm sure you understand."
Nia realised the conversation had come to an end and stood up. "I do understand why you can't help me, but, well, thank you for your time." She left frustrated, but she knew he wouldn't change his mind. She walked down the stairs. At least she could tell Jade she'd tried. Nia was just opening her car door when she was aware of footsteps behind her, turned and saw the woman who'd been typing in the office. She spoke breathlessly, fiddling with her hair.
I was listening to you talking to Grant. Sorry, I should introduce myself. I'm Donna. I was friends with Ruby."
The name Donna seemed familiar to Nia, but she wasn't sure why. Donna continued,
"I would usually agree with Grant, but I think this is different. I was on the phones with Ruby the night before she died."
"You were?" Nia's heart was racing. "Did she say anything about the call to you?" Donna nodded.
"She came over to me after the call in tears. It was unlike her. I always envied the way she could be so sympathetic answering the phones, but after a call, she was able to put it to one side, move on to the next. This was different, though."
"What did she say?" Donna took a deep breath.
"Ruby told me that she recognised the caller's voice. It was someone living in her close. They were in a terrible mess, desperate, and she had to speak to them again. I said all the usual things about it being confidential, but she said she had to do something. She told me the woman who'd phoned was getting married very soon, but she'd got into some kind of trouble. Ruby seemed to think they shouldn't be getting married because of it."
Nia gasped. "It was Elvira."
"Ruby didn't mention a name."
Donna looked over her shoulder nervously.
"I shouldn't be telling you this, but I was really fond of Ruby and she was terribly worried."
"Thank you so much. I promise I'll be tactful. If I see a way I can help, I will."
"I appreciate that, and I wouldn't be telling you this if I hadn't seen the way Ruby had been."
"Did Ruby tell you any more about the conversation?"
"No, nothing, although she did say the caller had been very angry at the end."
Donna sighed and then shook her head.
"I still can't believe what happened to Ruby. I wish she'd talked to me, but Ruby was always better at listening than talking about herself. You know, she would always come in early and say to me, 'Now, Donna, tell me how you are.' Bless her, she was a lovely friend."
Nia paused. "Hang on,
Ruby mentioned you once. She was telling me about a car accident she had back in January on her way to work here. Was it you who told her to go home, not to try and come in? That's right. Gosh, I remember that night. Ruby was in quite a state. She'd not been hurt, but she was clearly upset. Did she tell you any more about the accident? Not really. When I next saw her, she didn't want to talk about it. She said she felt guilty, but I couldn't understand why. It hadn't been her fault. No one was blaming her. No one was hurt.
Nia nodded.
Well, thank you for talking to me, and as I say, I will be very careful.
Donna went back inside, and Nia got into the car. But before she drove, she took time to catch her breath. Elvira had rung the helpline, desperate. Ruby had believed she shouldn't be marrying Ethan. What was going on with her? Ruby had been to see Elvira's mother not long before she died, and Elvira had been very upset. Nia thought again about Elvira and her visits to her mother. She'd seen the other night how late Elvira was at the nursing home. That was a bit odd, wasn't it? Nia tried to remember the name of the home. Petunia had talked about it at the hen party. What was it? Something to do with trees. Nia checked on her phone for nursing homes on the West White. And there it was. The Pines. It didn't look that far. Maybe she'd go and at least check out the location? Following directions on her phone, she drove back past Calbourne and then turned up a narrow road that led to Mottiston Down, until eventually she reached the nursing home. As she sat in her car in the car park, she decided to go inside. She, of course, would need a reason for this, and she sat for a few moments working out what she considered to be a good explanation. She got out of the car, walked confidently to the house, and entered. The home was very pleasant inside, and they had clearly tried to make it appear as unclinical as possible. There was, however, a strong smell of disinfectant mingled with the waft of evening meal. There was a desk with a registration book, with a polite notice asking people to make sure they signed in and out. One of the staff spotted Nia and came over.
"Have you come to visit someone?"
"Not today. Your home has been recommended to me, and I've looked you up online. I saw you offered respite and thought as I was passing I would pop in and ask how I went about organising a visit with my mum."
"I think there is a page on our website to book a visit, isn't there?"
Nia felt herself blushing.
"Oh, sorry, I must have missed that. I'll go back and check that out, thank you."
"Any problems, just give us a ring and one of the managers will help you. Who was it recommended us to you?"
"My friend Elvira's mum is here. Mrs. Johnson?"
"Of course. Elvira comes every Sunday. She is such a good daughter."
"She is very happy with her mother's care here."
"That's lovely to hear. Sorry, I didn't catch your name."
"Oh, I'm Nia. There was one more thing I wanted to check. The reason I am thinking about respite is that about once a month I have to go to the mainland to work and I get home very late. It's a long time to leave Mum. If I was to get back any time, say, by about 9 in the evening, would that be too late to pop in just to say hello to Mum? It's just she sees me every day and I know she'll miss me."
"That is rather late. We ask visitors to leave by about 8:30 to give us time to quietly settle everyone down. It's much better, you see, to keep to a routine for everyone."
"I quite understand. Well, I shall explain that to Mum if we get that far. Thank you so much for your help. I won't hold you up any longer."
"That's quite all right. I look forward to meeting your mum soon."
Nia left the home and returned to her car. So, as she thought, Elvira wouldn't be staying late when she visited her mother. What was she doing in the time between seeing her mother and returning to the close? The only way she could think of finding out would be to follow Elvira after her visit, and that would have to wait until Sunday. One thing was clear. Elvira's life was a lot more complicated than it had first appeared.